nice and up, put your Tottenham notes down there, and then we're all good. To be honest, I won't leave.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the hour-long brainstorming session. I'm Patrick Curry from Midway Games Chicago, and I'm very pleased to be sharing the stage with my esteemed colleagues from Sony Europe. Each of us will speak for about 15 minutes, and then we'll do a joint Q&A at the end. So hold your questions. I'm here to talk about brainstorming, but a different kind of brainstorming, brainstorming in public. Usually when you think about brainstorming, you think about gentlemen in white lab coats and deep underground facilities coming up with the next great thing, the next big idea. And frankly, I think that's bullshit, and my talk is here to tell you about why if you brainstorm in public, you'll not only come up with better ideas, but more ideas. And this is a concept or technique I stumbled into, hit face first like a concrete wall, when in 2006 I resolved in New Year's that I was going to become a better game designer. And I decided that I was going to do that by coming up with more game ideas than I had ever come up with before. And not only that, but I was going to post each one to my website for the whole world to see. Now, my intention wasn't so much for the whole world to see these game ideas as it was my friends. I had tried this kind of thing before, and I decided that this time I needed the support of my friends, so I sent an email to everyone saying, hey, I'm going to come up with a game idea every week, and you're going to keep me honest and keep me to it. And somehow, through some absolute miracle or strange twist of fate, I managed to do it. And there's 52 game ideas on my website now, patrickcurry.com. You can go check them out if you like. But I'm not here to talk about the game ideas themselves. I'm here to talk about how I did this and the lessons learned from the complete insanity. So after about the first or second week when I was completely out of ideas, I had to start finding ways to come up with new ideas and start coming up with them really, really quickly. because, believe it or not every idea I ever came up with was good. After tallying all of my notes, I had over 250 ideas from 2006, but only 52 of them I actually deemed good enough to put in public and put my name on. And it was really important that I be focused with this, right? So I set some ground rules publicly that I said, okay, all of these ideas are going to be new. They can't be old ideas. They can't be ideas that I've heard from someone else. They have to be original. They have to be good, which was very difficult to difficult bar to hold myself to. And they couldn't be from work, because frankly, I was completely paranoid that my employers were going to find out about this project and shut me down. So I couldn't do any ideas that had anything to do with shooters. I was working on Stranglehold at the time. But not only that, they couldn't be anything like any idea that Midway had in production at the time. So that really pushed me into some strange new places. And so I had to focus. The first technique is I had to really focus in on what I wanted the ideas to be so that as I was processing, 5-10 ideas a week, I could quickly say, is this an idea that I want or not? And so when you do your brainstorming, I encourage you to decide ahead of time what you're looking for. You don't need to know what the answer is, but you need to know what your question is, what you're striving for. So really focus in on what you want so that as you're swimming through this idea soup, this idea fog, I like this, I don't want that, that's someone else's, let me spend some more time and process this idea. Now, I put the rules out publicly, but the thing I didn't post publicly is I had seed ideas. Now, I knew that I wanted to create totally new ideas, so I brainstormed a list of about almost 50 seeds, and these were ideas that were just one sentence, like a game for grandma, a game for my little sister, a game with just one button, a game for the DS, a game for the Wii. And I used these seeds, and I constantly came back to these seeds to kind of grow and foster new ideas that were, again, very, very focused. The next step is mandatory brainstorming. And this is where the public part really came in the most, because by putting this on my website, I knew I was setting myself up that if I failed, if I didn't post all 52 ideas, that I'd be embarrassed. And frankly, I don't like being embarrassed. I don't think anybody does. And so I made it where I absolutely had to post these ideas. I called myself out. I challenged myself, and I said, I'm going to do this. And not only that, I work best under deadlines. Left to my own devices, I'll noodle, I'll draw, or I'll spend way too much time on a single idea. And by saying, hey, every week, roughly every Sunday night, there's going to be a new idea on my website, I made it where I absolutely had to do it. And if I hadn't had the public involved, if I hadn't had people reading my website, commenting on it, sending me emails, the mandatory part would have been out the window, and I probably would have stopped it about the third month when it got really, really difficult to do. So I think that's a place where you can foster the public to really force yourself to do something, because it then became constant brainstorming, right? When I was trying to come up with one idea every week that was good enough and new enough to put on my website, I couldn't just come up with game ideas when I was in a good mood or when I felt like it. I had to do brainstorming when I was angry. I had to do brainstorming when I was sad and there was, excuse me, when there was tragedy in my life. And that took me to new and emotional places and new game ideas that I probably wouldn't have come up with if I was just like, yeah, everything's great, let's come up with a game idea. No, there were really, really bad days in 2006, and that made for, frankly, interesting new game ideas. And also, I became an idea sponge. Every aspect of my life, everything I did, whether it was attending a funeral or riding the bus, that became source material because I needed those ideas so desperately, so I didn't become embarrassed, that I was just sucking them in and constantly processing these game ideas. And that leads me to the third technique, which is no camping, right? I think everyone in this room, you have ideas, and not just for games, right? For stories or characters or worlds or just a new gun in a game. But I like to get an idea, and I like to treat it like my precious, and I like to hide it and not tell anyone about it and pet it and grow it and, frankly, sit on it like an egg and have it be a big secret. And I don't think that makes for good ideas. I think that I have a couple ideas like that that are interesting, but I came up with them 2-3 years ago, and now someone else has already done them. They're outdated. And I think that the really new good ideas are further out there. They're not the ideas I have today. I have to get to them. I can't camp, and I have to go process them. So like I said, I think there's kind of this idea fog that you have to crawl through and kind of think that lots of ideas are up front, blocking your view, and there's some very distant, really great ideas, and you kind of have to get those bad ideas out of the way. You kind of have to process the obvious ideas that everyone comes up with. First couple months on my website, pretty obvious. After that, some kind of combination ideas, ideas that were kind of obvious but with a twist on them. But then after I processed through them and crawled through them and wrote them up and let myself stop thinking about them, right, freed up my brain cycles that were stuck on one idea, I could get to those really new, good ideas that were way out there, deep in the idea fog. And I couldn't have done it if I was camping. And then after those really good ideas, you get to the bottom of the barrel. And just like I think that coming up with game ideas when you're unhappy or when you're sad or when you just don't feel like it is productive, it's also productive to have to spend ideas on games that you don't necessarily like, games that you don't necessarily think are the best thing. And if you're a professional game designer, chances are you've had to do that once in your career. So it's good practice. The fourth technique was that I couldn't have a bubble. Now, obviously, I'm posting these game ideas in public, which meant that there was virtually no bubble, and 1 week of ideation wasn't a lot of time for me to grow ideas. But I had to really reach out. And while I said that this was not a work project and I avoided talking to people at work about it or writing down notes and ideas at work about the ideas, I had to really reach out and break out of my bubble, my little secret brainstorming lair, and talk to friends, talk to family members, talk to game designers at other studios that I trusted, and just see if they liked the ideas I was coming up with. If I couldn't get a reaction out of them, if they couldn't say, hey, that sounds cool, or, oh yeah, what about this? Excuse me. Then it wasn't a good idea. And if I told three friends that, oh, I'm thinking about writing up this idea, and it's about a, it's one of the failed ones, oh, bodybuilding. I really wanted to write up a bodybuilding idea for some reason. No one was interested, and so I just had to ditch it. So I really had to break out of my bubble and get this feedback from people before the ideas were out on the website. But then the super valuable feedback came once it was out in the public and people came out of the woodwork and, you know, who knew so many people wanted to play a game where you were a werewolf eating French villagers. I was quite surprised, but turned out to be one of the most popular ideas. And then the fifth technique I used was just no negativity. When you're trying to come up with ideas this fast and this many of them, you just can't say no. So while I wanted feedback from friends and from the public about if they liked an idea or if they didn't like an idea, I didn't talk to my friends, even if they were super talented game designers, who were just kind of negative Nancys and who, you know, shot down every other idea just because that's kind of their nature. They're not mean guys, but that's just kind of their attitude. So they were just kind of out of the loop, and I just focused on positivity and production and, frankly, getting through as many of these ideas as quickly as I could. So what happened? Before I go to the next slide. Well, I got all the ideas, and frankly, I feel like I got better ideas than I ever had before. Out of the 52 ideas that are out there publicly, I think there's 5 of them that are real gems that I really like that I'd be happy to go make tomorrow. Probably be willing to make almost any of them, but that's another story. And I got a huge community reaction, right? I know what the people liked. I know what people reading the website what they responded to. There's one game idea in particular that Slashdot guys really liked, and that kind of ended up being a really big popular one. So I feel like I definitely got more out of the experience than the rest of the world did. People always ask me, hey, aren't you worried about people like stealing these ideas or taking them? And I'm not. I kind of think game designers tend to be, what's the word for it, arrogant. And we kind of like to have our own ideas. And so when you see ideas that someone else has, you kind of tend to move away from them a little bit. Kind of like, you know, opposite magnets, right, that push each other apart. And so I think that I definitely got more value out of it than anyone else. But maybe if my ideas have inspired other ideas or pushed other people to come up with new ideas in public or in a new way, then that's awesome. So I definitely encourage you all to do your brainstorming for whatever it is in public. And now I'm going to go out on a big limb, and I think there's actually a business case for brainstorming in public, for taking your rawest, most fragile baby ideas and just saying, hey world, here they are, what's up? And there's three big reasons why I think this is true. The first is that you kind of get to mark your turf. Like I was saying, people like to have their own ideas. People like to be clever and come up with things. And so by putting out your ideas for things that maybe you're not necessarily doing today, but you might do, or you could be doing soon, you've kind of already claimed that space. And so let me use one of my favorite studios as an example. Imagine if Blizzard Entertainment posted one new game idea that they might make, maybe, maybe not, once a month. The entire game industry would take notice, but then they'd probably also be absolutely terrified of those ideas, and they would try to stay away from them. All of a sudden, Blizzard has cornered a new piece of the market without really lifting a finger. Secondly, you get to hide in plain sight, right? One of those ideas that Blizzard has posted, hypothetically, could be the next big thing. It could be the next World of Warcraft. But us, their competition, wouldn't necessarily know that. We'd be left scratching our head and thinking about it. Hey, what are these guys doing? You know, they're doing something like us. I don't know. Let's stay away from all that. But by hiding in plain sight, Blizzard gets all of the benefits, or you could get all the benefits if you do this, of community feedback and involvement and investment. You know, besides just seeing how many comments are on my website for each of these ideas, I know which one gets the most Google hits. I know which games people are looking for to play that don't exist yet because they land on my website instead of on a Flash website or Amazon or IGN.com for that game. And they get investment, right? On my werewolf idea, which is called Lubgaru, sorry for the horrible pronunciation, there is a huge thread of people posting their own ideas for a werewolf game and, frankly, arguing about who's stealing ideas from who in their version of the werewolf game that I posted on my website. So if I ever did make that website, I have an immediate community of people who are deeply invested in wanting to see this game, wanting to play the game. So if it ever ended up on shelves, they would go buy it and tell their friends to buy it because they had a hand in creating it. At least that's their perspective. So I think it's probably time for me to pass the microphone to Sony. But I'd like to remind you that all of my game ideas are still up on the website. I hope to keep them there forever, at least until I get a book out with them. This talk will be posted online, probably in an extended form. There's a million other things I could talk about the entire experience and, frankly, the insanity that was 2006. Shoot me an email or come talk afterwards if you don't get your questions in. But most importantly, come up with new ideas because we desperately, desperately need new game ideas in the industry, and I encourage you to come up with even better ideas and more of them if you do so in public. Thank you very much.